The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Be seated. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he had saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey or two tunics or sandal or staff. For laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. And see, I am sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord. Deep river, my home is over Jordan. Deep river, my home is over Jordan. Deep river, I want to cross into that campground. Such is the sounds of liberty of this spiritual. The liberty to build bridges when rivers divide, to light campfires amid the ardor of hate, to see God when hope unborn dies. That is the home which liberty provides each of us as we experience the freedom of God, of life that is in God now. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in that campground. Now, I want to cross over and ascend into that spiritual home where I can truly see the fullness of the covenant, as we have heard in our first lesson, that we, led by our Jewish siblings and grafted into the kingdom of God by our Lord Jesus Christ, have become God's treasured possession. And an hour southeast of here on the Gulf Coast on June 19, 1865, this land finally harmonized with the sounds of this spiritual home, that those who were enslaved in the state of Texas were to be freed. And even now, as the whole country joins in liberty's song, let us not lose sight that today, the oppressed and the wounded, the descendants of formerly enslaved, are being born on eagle's wings and being brought together with us to God. That though we experience a legacy of slavery through economic disparities and extrajudicial killings, we see the campfires, people. We see our spiritual home on the horizon. All of us are being built into that spiritual camp, each of us being an essential part of this entire structure of liberty. You, my siblings, are God's spiritual home, with the Jewish people first, and then all of us as a part of this entire spectrum of the peoples of this planet. How else do you think that the tent poles or the logs of the campfire or the sizzles of the eggs are to be set up, chopped down, and fired up, if not by each and every one of us? Now, perhaps some of us, right, have known or have seen this campfire, right, have had the liberty of seeing the foothills of Mount Sinai in person. But how many one of us would like to see that mountain as Moses saw it, as liberty's encampment? I don't know about you, but I want to see that mountain as Moses saw that mountain. A Hebrew by birth, Egyptian by choice, maybe not his choice. Moses was like many of us, caught in the routine of life in the wilderness of Midian. See, he had fled Egypt, and he lived in the sacred mountains of his father-in-law, Jethro, tending the sheep, tending the flocks. Perhaps being aware that this very mountain that he saw day in and day out was a spiritual home for Jethro and his people. And so on an ordinary day, maybe not as hot as this, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses, announcing the good news of liberty. And he said it like this: I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them. So come, Moses. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And when you have brought them out of Egypt, bring them here. You shall worship God on this mountain. There is a home for the Israelites. There is a home for the oppressed. There is a spiritual home for all of us who cry out to God on account of white supremacy or illness and suffering. There is a home that is defined not by what others have done to you or what you do, but what God has declared and continues to do in, with, and through you. Howard Thurman said it best. He said it best as he describes the kind of home that we're in. He said, God is the guarantor of all of our values, the ultimate meaning, the timeless frame of reference. That means everything that we have, everything that we see has God, is God-inspired and God-breathed. To see Mount Sinai as Moses saw it is to allow for the song of liberty, God's deliverance. Allow for that deliverance to make home in your heart. And you have heard this deliverance, the sweet voice of Jesus when he proclaimed, the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has healed you. The kingdom of God has forgiven you. The kingdom of God has made you stand up straight. The plan for God's spiritual home has been laid out, is set in with and under us. And so if God's plan for a spiritual home is laid out first in this deliverance, I think then we can understand a little better what it means to live as covenantal people. We hear it, indeed the whole earth is mine, but you, Israel, shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. God's covenant, God's promise to be with and for the Israelites and his and their descendants continues to exist not only for them, but also for us. This is why we heard in the first lesson, God is stressing obedience to the voice, to his voice, and keeping of his command, of his covenant. He's not saying that he wants us to do anything. Rather, the entire fabric of our existence as parents and fathers and grandparents, mothers and children, leaders and teachers, attorneys, business owners, I can go on, the whole earth, mind you, depends upon the God who speaks gifts of liberty to us. That's what I think is the meaning of this phrase. These are the words that Moses spoke to the Israelites. And those words are our words for us today. And so you might say, what about the commandments? The commandments follow in the next chapter. And we hear this, right? This commandment, the Ten Commandments. And here's a phrase that comes from the Ten Commandments that I think proves my point, doesn't detract from my point. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or alien resident in your town. It's not about what we do. It's about the rest that God provides. It's about the fact that all of these commandments flow out of the covenant of liberty and freedom. In other words, our spiritual home is one where these life-giving commandments and us are being weaved into a seamless union, a patchwork of every nation and creed and ethnicity and place. So that the structure of this spiritual home is not just for us Christians. It's not just for folks of any particular ethnicity, class, or identity. Our spiritual home, the sacred campgrounds of our God, is fuller than anything we can possibly imagine today. The movements for justice, like Black Lives Matter, or the focus today on Black joy and Black excellence, or the generational shifts away from Christendom to a living relationship with Jesus Christ, all point toward that spiritual home. A home where assimilation is not the goal, but rather mutual consolation and the building up of the people of God. And we hear that. You will sing that later in James Wendell Johnson's anthem when he says, lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring. Ring with what? Ring with the harmonies of liberty. We all belong to a God who made each and every one of us a unique self and identity that is required to build up these harmonies of liberty. That is the kind of home I want to live in. A home surrounded, a home watered by that deep river who is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is a river that makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And our home is over there, siblings. So let's cross over. The campgrounds are ready. Amen.